Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
All right. Well, good morning. Did you enjoy that worship this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here this morning, and we want to pray for Pastor Terry. He's a little bit under the weather, so we want to pray for him and just thank God for touching his body. So, Father, we just lift up Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda this morning, Lord, and God, even the others that are sick, Lord, and God is not here today, Lord. We lift up the Logans, Lord, and God, we just pray, God, for your people today, Lord. Lord, we realize, God, apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have already paid the price for our well-being. So, Father, we lift up Pastor Terry, and we pray, God, that this will be a day that he will rest in you, Father, and God, that whatever is going on in his body, we thank you for complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Praise God. I don't know if you remember or not. It's going to be a part two of, I think it's been a couple of weeks, about Romans 6. And this has really been kind of ringing and just, I mean, you know, some scriptures just get on you and just seem like you just, every time you turn around, it's coming back up again. Yes. Oh, just a few like that. Okay. All right. But anyway, how many know there's a finished work that we have to begin to enter into? You know, so many times we preach, and how many know sometimes you be preaching and you say, well, you know, they say do that, do this, do that, do that. How many know it's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts? It's about living out of your being, who Christ created you to be. See, and that's where the finished work is. When Jesus said that it was finished, what he was really saying is the work has already been done. The work is already finished. Well, you say, well, if it's finished, why do we have so much difficulty? Why is there so much friction? Why is there so much problems? Why is there so much irritation? Why is there so much fighting and battling going on? Because we're in spiritual warfare. Yes. See, when we became born again, we became born from above. And what we have to understand is that Satan does not like us worshiping and praising God. You know why? It reminds him of where he was at one time. So he's a little bit jealous of us, and what he can't stop us. See, he know he can't stop the seed of God. See, and we're born of the seed of God, okay? The seed is in us, okay? We're being born again by the word of God, which live and abideth forever, amen? So what he does is he want to create friction, discord, fighting against each other, bickering against each other, and doubting God that God is withholding something from us. But how many know if you read the word of God, in John 8, it tells us all about who he is. And Jesus said, you are a liar and the father of lies. See, and what he does to us, he lies to us. And sometimes we accept his lies more than the truth. But what we got to learn to do is experience the truth. Because Jesus said you would know the truth, and that word know there is a word that means that you begin to experience this truth. See, and this is a difference in our Christianity than any other religion is this, you know, that we serve a true and living God that we can experience. See, he's just not the God on Sunday morning that you come in and we worship, but amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's the God 24/7. See, and that's where we need to put him. He's not a God way off somewhere, amen. He's on the inside of you. See, and what the enemy wants us to do is believe the lies that he's somewhere taking a nap or he's somewhere that don't care about us. But the word of God tells me that I can cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Now, I don't know about you, but he cares for me. I'm the apple of his eye, amen. I'm taking advantage of this sonship, amen. I'm owning myself, amen, and I'm claiming what he's already declared me to be. So what we have to understand, church, is this, that he's a liar. And all he can do, listen to me, all he can do is remind you of your past. But what the lie is, you don't have a past. Your past is covered in the blood. See, when you came to Christ, the Bible said, your sins and your iniquities will I remember what? No more. They is as far as the east is from the west. You know, and I began to look at that one time, and I said, you know, the west will never catch up with the east, and the east will never catch up with the west. You know why? Because they're going in two different directions. And that's what the enemy wants us to do, keep trying to go in too many directions, amen, when we need to follow who? Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, amen. He that cometh, he can't come to me except through, to the Father, except through me. See, but when we get in the way, how many know he's the way? I'm not the way, but he's the way. And what we got to learn to do, church, is get in the way of what Yahweh has already accomplished for us. It's a done deal. See, but the enemy will not stop. See, and this bothers my mind sometimes, you know, because sometimes, you know, God had to hit me upside the head a couple of times for it to register. I don't know about you, you know. And then once I get, oh, that's what you were saying. Okay, I got it, Lord. How many ever been there and done that? He's just dealing with you, and all of a sudden, you say, oh, got it. That's what you were saying. See, and what the enemy want to do is this. He want to keep lying to you until you are convinced that you are what he's saying. But I'm going to give you a weapon and a tool here today that you do not have to accept what the enemy says to you. Number one, say number one, Jesus has already took care of my past. Number two, he's already took care of my future. Number three, he's already taking care of the present. So guess what? You're covered. You're covered. See, you're covered. Well, why so much turmoil, Pastor John? What's going on? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, the evil things of this age. And one of the things about we got to learn, church, that's going on in this age. I like what Pastor T.W. said last week. You ain't got to find the answer in political stuff. Watch this. Artificial intelligence. Is no comparison to the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, this is the battle that we're facing, church. Artificial intelligence. They're trying to convince us that a man has the answer, There hasn't been but one man that had the answer, and he went in the tomb, amen, and he resurrected, amen, and he's alive today, amen, and that blood is still just as wet as it was, oh, glory to God, when he shed it out of his blood, amen. He's the one today, amen, that we need to look to, that we need to follow. It's not this artificial intelligence. Notice how I said artificial. Somebody said it's just as fake as dough. Now, I don't know about that, but amen. So what we have to understand is this, church. We got to wise up and realize that we're in a battle, but we're not fighting from a position of defeat. We're fighting from a position of victory. He has already won the victory. Amen? Jesus said when he resurrected and he appeared to his disciples, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That's why we need to learn more about the name of Jesus. It's just not a name that we proclaim on Sunday or a name that sounds good at the end of a prayer. Amen. When we use the name of Jesus, do you realize the demons understand that when you say in the name of Jesus, what you're saying is that name that defeated you, that name that stripped you of all your power, that name that made an open shame of you. Amen. That name now that rules over principalities and power. It's all in the name of Jesus. Why? When he went to the cross, he conquered the devil. Amen. He stripped him of his authority. And now it's our time as the church to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is filling this temple, and it is risen upon you. Amen. Say, the glory is in me. So we got to understand that he's done his part. And I'm not saying this to be rude or ugly or anything, but as the church, we have to understand that we have the answer, not being arrogant, not being high-minded, not trying to toot your own horn, but the church, the ecclesia, the called out one, the one that has been separated. And this is what the enemy want to do. He don't want us to be separated from this world. He wants us to mix and mingle and take on the world's mentality. But how many know we're in the world, but we're not of the world? We're not to isolate from the world, but we're not to let the world transform us or conform us or squeeze us into its mold. We are to be transformers. And the way it starts is by renewing our minds to the truth of God's word. Not in religion, not in tradition, but the unadulterated word of God, amen, that will bring purity to his church. And this is what the enemy want to do, is keep us lollygagging and playing with these things of the world, this all this fake stuff that he's trying to give to the church, when the church, amen, cannot live on those things. Why? Because the word of God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. It is in God's word that we can be transformed and changed. It's not in artificial intelligence. It's not in these things. See, and what the enemy want to do is get us so hooked to this world system. Instead of being transformed, we are conforming. We are conforming. Well, the world does it this way. Let us do it this way. Come on, church. We're supposed to be changing the world, not the world changing us. And we're letting the world trick us into thinking, you know, you got to do this. No, it ain't in the do's and don'ts. It's coming out of your what? Being. are the church of the living God, not just this building. We appreciate the building where we can come and worship and learn and be strengthened and be encouraged by each other. But I'm telling you, it's more than the four walls. Amen. You got to understand that when you go out of here, you got to know that you know that you know. Amen. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know what Christ has done for you. You ask most Christians, well, how did you get saved? Well, I went and gave the preacher my hand. That's not salvation. I had an encounter with a risen Savior, and I've never been the same. Amen. He calls me to put away my pot. I know y'all call it weed now, but I ain't touched none since he changed my life. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the experience that we need in this day and hour, is an encounter that will transform us in such a way to where that it grieves us just like it grieves the heart of God when sin comes on. See, we don't need to play with it. We don't need to touch it or taste it or all this stuff. You know why? Because it's a setup of the enemy. And when I realize that all the enemy could do to me is remind me of my past, he cannot create anything. Why? Because he's not a creator. He's not a creator. He's not in the class with God. I'm telling you, people, we got to wise up, because people think, well, you know, he's just in the same class with God. The devil is a lie. That was a saying one time that there was a I think what they call these things, like they're going to encounter, we're going to see who's real and who's not real, you know, and so, the devil shows up. He's the same as God. But you know, long story short, you know, they picked up dirt, you know, and God formed man out of the dust of the dirt. So the devil said, you know, he couldn't get no dirt. Why? Because he didn't create the dirt. So get your own dirt. If you're a creator, create your own dirt. So he's not a creator. He's an instigator. And he's good, exactly right, a deceiver. And a lot of deception is going on. See, and I'm not speaking bad of those in authority. We pray for our president. We pray for the Congress. We pray for all them. But I'm telling you, our answer is not in them. We pray for them, but our answer is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to get on our face, get on our knees, and begin to pray. I'm telling you that when we encounter him, it makes the difference. You can't just wait for something bad to happen before you pray. Pray before it happens. So, did I give you a scripture? Oh. What were y'all listening at? I thought I was giving you the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay. So let's get into this a little bit. My time is moving. I want to draw your attention to something that I shared last, I think it's been a couple of weeks, that I shared about being dead with Christ, you know. And God began, as I studied over this, you know, I had to repent. It's all right to be transparent, isn't it? Okay. I had to repent because the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, John, go back and study what you preached. Go back and study what you preached. And this has been 4 days. 4 days that the Spirit of God, go back and study what you preached. Go into depth with it. Go back and study what you preached. Lord and behold, I get a phone call this morning. Pastor John, I'm not going to make it today. Do you mind stepping in for me? And I said, but 3 o'clock this morning, God woke me up, and guess what I was doing? Going back over what I had preached. He told me 4 days ago. I know y'all, I'm sorry. Oh God. I can't help but just be. I had to go back, Brother Mike, and got up 3 o'clock this morning. Had no idea. No idea that I'm going to have to preach. And guess what? I was at 3 o'clock this morning. I looked at the clock. It was 5 o'clock. And that old flush said, oh, you got to go get back into bed. You got to get up and go to church. So I just said, no, I'm a linger. I'm going to stay. So I began to look at this. And let's look at, I don't know if Sister Lynn still got it or not, but let's look at Romans chapter 6 here, okay? And I want to point out something to you that the Holy Spirit has really enlightened me on, okay? And it says, you don't have it? Okay. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read down to verse 11, then I'm going to stop, okay? It says, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How should we who died to sin still live in it? Notice he said died to sin, okay? Because sometimes we think, well, I'm dead to everything. No, we're dead to what? Sin, okay? And we'll see this in just a second, okay? I'm just going to refresh a little bit, okay? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into what? His death. Now, if you got your Bibles, hold that right there. Just hold that right there. If you have your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 12:13 for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one spirit, we were all what? Baptized into what? One body. Whether Jew, Greek, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. So realizing that it's the Spirit's baptism that unites us to Christ, right? So our identity is in Christ. It's no longer in my flesh, are in the things that I've done in my past. That's why we tell people this, do not let your past define who you are. Because if you start dwelling on that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become that. See, what we behold, we become. So if I behold all my failures, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to continue to operate in failure. Are you listening to me? So we have been baptized into what? By the Spirit of God is how we get into the church, not shaking the preacher's hand. Not coming to an altar saying, well, I want to be a part of the church. You have to be born into the church. And realize this, that we're all part of the body. We're all part of the body. So guess what? When you're honored, the whole body needs to be what? Honored with you. Why? Because we're a part of it. How many of y'all in here told your feet this morning, I have no need of you? Oh, so you understand that we need every part. There is no part that we do not need. Why? Because the part that you might not need might be that part you need for that particular time. So this is why we got to understand that we're all born into the church by one spirit. This is how we're all children of God, because we all have the same daddy. We all were born again by what? The Spirit of God. He shedded his blood, amen? And guess what? When he shedded his blood, how many know he made one new man? Now, we might have a little bit different pigment of the skin, but inwardly, guess what? We're brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're born of the Spirit. See? So what we got to understand with this, why are you talking about this? We need each other more than ever. It's not a competition. It's not me trying to outdo another, amen? I just need to do my part, and you do your part, and we all have a piece of the puzzle, so that if we'll begin to operate in our piece, we'll connect, and we'll bring the beautiful picture of the head, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So what you're going through many a times is a distraction. And not only a distraction, what you're going through, Jesus is taking whatever we go through and he's causing us to grow up and mature into his likeness. See? But as I was sharing a while ago about the enemy, sometimes we give him more credit than he deserves. Sometimes we buy the lie that Flip Wilson put out long ago, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. He didn't make you do it. Because Jesus took care of that, right? Okay. So we've all been baptized into Christ, into his death. Therefore, verse 4, is that where I stopped at? Okay. Therefore, we have been buried with him through what? Baptism into his death. Now, Jesus said this. I won't go there, but I'm just going to quote it to you. I think it's, let's just go there. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. Some people say, what do you mean 50? Okay. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. Okay. Let me back up. I said verse 50. I read verse 151. Did I say verse 50? Yes. Okay. All right. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wished it was already kindled. But I have a baptism, this is it, but I have a baptism to undergo. And how much, what? What is that word? Distress. How many going through some distressful stuff? Come on, be honest. It's like a baptism. It's like a baptism. See, that distress that you feel, what distress means is agony, trouble. It can be some situations that you're facing with your family. It could be with your children. You know, it just brings distress. It's discomfort. And listen to what Jesus is saying here. I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed, how troubled I am until it is accomplished. You say, what does this have to do? His baptism that he went to, he faced distress. And what we're entering into, church, is a lot of distress. Amen. Don't mean that you're not saved, that you're not born again, but it just means that you're going through some troubled times, some tough times. But it's okay. Easy for you to say. It's okay. Why? Because God is causing all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you're going to be able to condemn. Why? Because you're part of the heritage of God. You are God's seed. And what you're going through, God is with you. He's not forsaking you. See, and the baptism that Jesus was faced in, I mean, you know, he walked this earth as a man. Some people say, well, you know, he was God. No, he didn't operate as God. He operated as what? A human being, amen? A son of man, amen? He walked as you and I would walk in this world. But what he realized was this, that I need the Holy Spirit, amen? I gotta depend on who? My Father. And he's giving us the same Holy Spirit that was in him. Because when he died, we died. When he resurrected, we resurrected. See, and what we have to remember, I shared with you, if you remember the first time, the part one of this was, we got to quit identifying with who? Adam. Let me ask you a question. Were you with Adam in the garden when he failed? Okay. But we accept, we will say right quick, we're sinners. That's identifying with Adam. Were you with Jesus when he went to the cross? Physically? No. But what he did was took on our sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 20, 21, that he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. See, and what we have to understand is Jesus, we identify with what he did. Why? Because he represented us. The Bible said cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. How many know he took the curse for us? He became who we were as sinners and died in our place so that whatever we go through, he will go through it with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. No, I don't like trials. No, I don't like going through distress. But I've realized and I come to the realization that I'm not in it alone. God is working something in me that I can't do on my own. Does that make sense to you? So he was distressed. He said, you know, and that's the baptism he went through. But guess what? He said in this, he said that, therefore we have been buried with him through what? Baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, a freshness of life, amen, the abundant life that he has given. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of what? His resurrection. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. Okay? Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with. Notice it says that knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Galatians 2 and 20 says, for I have been crucified. Let's go there. I don't want to just quote it to you. I might miss something here. But if I read it, it'll blow up in me. I'll get it. Hurry up. Got it? Got some yeps. Okay. Galatians 2. I love this. I love it. Let's drop up to the 19th verse. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, how many know we're in the flesh? I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So my identity, I have been crucified with Christ. Was I there? No, not in the physical form as John, but I'm going to note my sin that represented me was on him. The sin that I identified with are the old self, that sin nature, that principle that held us in bondage have been broken. Now sin does not have dominion over the church. Okay. All right, let's move on. In order that the body of sin might be done away with, okay? In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. We sing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. But I like to sing, I'm no longer a slave to sin. For he whom has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe, do you believe this? We believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. In other words, he broke the power of sin once and for all. This is what we got to learn, church. When we talk to people, and it's all right to invite people to church, but that's not really the witness that they need to hear. I was sitting in Verizon one day, used to be, what is that place, honey? Help me out here. Is it Staples? A cable place in Shelby. Spectrum. Honey, you got to help me. Okay. Spectrum. Oh, we got a marriage. Spectrum. Okay, I was sitting there, and this guy, he was sitting there, you know, just long story short. And I said, man, how you been doing? You know, ain't seen you in a while, you know. Well, you know, this is the first thing. Now, we hadn't discussed anything about church. This is what he said. Well, you know, I guess I need to go to church a little bit more. Now, he knew me back when we used to work that I was a saved person, you know, because I witnessed to him, to all them guys. But he, you know, he realized who I was. He said, yeah, I know I need to get back in the church. And I told him, I said, no. You don't need to get in the church. See, that right there got his attention. You know, he stood up. What do you mean? I don't need to get in the church. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, well, I thought I did. I said, no, because if you know him, you are the church. See, sometimes people use that building to get us off of them. But I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, I don't know. I ain't never had nobody ask me that. They always wanted me to come to church. I said, you can go to church, but if you don't know him, you're just going to the building. What am I saying? People can only be delivered by Jesus from sin. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that will break the power of sin off of anybody's life. Amen. You can dress them up. You can smell them up. You can make them look good. You can talk to them. But until that blood has touched their life, amen, they're still a sinner. They're still a sinner. You say, you shouldn't tell people that. It's the truth that will make you free. Not me tickling your ears. It takes the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. How many of y'all tried to be good when you was out there? Oh, I won't do that no more. But how many know you went right back to like that pig? You went right back to that mud, amen? But when you got an encounter with God, oh, glory to God, when you have an encounter with him, your life will never be the same. He brings change. He broke the power of sin, that principle. That death blow that Adam gave to us, amen, he tasted death for every one of us so that we would be free from sin. And once you're free from sin, guess what? You are free indeed, amen? The truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let me get to this, and then I'm going to close. In order that the body, okay, you're free from sin. No, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Okay, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Catch this. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, this is what really got my attention, that verse 11, if you don't get nothing else out of what I said, listen and get this. Even so, consider yourself dead to what? Sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. That word consider there is another word that's in another translation that says, reckon it to be so. And what that word reckon really means is a word, is an accounted word, that it means that it's to your account. It's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. And all you got to do now is believe what Jesus Christ did for you. And guess what? You don't have to work for it. It's already been put to your account. You got to consider it done. And how do we consider it done? Is by believing what Jesus Christ did for me. I believe it. And when I believe it, how many know that settles it? I am dead. I consider myself to be dead to sin. Now, notice it didn't say dead to jealousy, dead to strife, dead to envy. You are dead from sin. But guess what? As we mature, we die out of the other stuff. But he took care of the one that had the power against, held us captive over all of it. He freed us from it. There goes the water. I'm free from the water. No. I'm glad you put it on the altar, Brother Chris. Because that's where it belongs, right? No, okay. Do you understand? Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. See, you are in Christ.
If any man be what? In Christ. He is what? A new creation. Come on, talk to me. Amen? You are a new creation. You are in Christ. See? And the life that we now live is what? In Christ. Christ has already did it for us. We are in him. And guess what? We're in him and he's in us. And he's helping us by the help of the Holy Spirit to grow and mature into what? More Christ-likeness. Amen? So consider yourselves to be what? Dead to sin. He didn't say nothing else. Just consider yourself. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to the principle of sin. That power that would not let me go when I tried to get away when I was out there, amen, that I couldn't get away from it. But now that Christ have came and was crucified for us, we've been made free from the power of sin. Now we get free from all the other stuff. That's it. Act like it. Be like it. Talk like it. Live like it. That's who you are. You are in Christ. Don't short circuit. Don't sell yourself short over this. Well, I'm just human. No, you are a spirit having a human experience. But you are in Christ. That's why Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I go now around saying, I'm in Christ. He has empowered me to live a victorious life in the midst of all the lies in this chaotic world that we live in. He's my peace. He's my joy. Amen? Okay. I'm closing my mouth. So we're in Christ. So if there's anyone today that you're not in Christ and you want to be in Christ, raise your hand. Is there anybody? Because we can't do this for the sake of just doing it. Christ has to be in us. I'm telling you, from experience, you will not be able to live a victorious life outside of Christ. It will not happen. And we have to live like it, believe like it, walk like it, talk like it, live like it every day of our life. Well, won't that be bored? Not one second of bored. It is exciting. It's exciting. When you, how many ever, okay, I'm closing on this. I promise you, I'm closing. Okay. How many of y'all have ever had a test and you had a little bit upper hand on that test? You were so excited when you looked at that test, you said, oh, I'm going to ace this. I got this. Who said that? I'm sorry, Mary. You didn't study, did you? Because when you study, it gives you what? The upper hand. It gives you a leverage. And the word of God says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your upper hand. See, this is your weapon. And you got to feed on your weapon. You got to know how this weapon operates so that when the enemy come, I can say, I consider myself dead. Because it's written. Is that not what Jesus did? Come on, Pastor T.W. While he's coming, I get another minute. No, I'm kidding. But did you get anything out of the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. All praises go to him. Amen. He is for us, not against us. Remember that. He is for you, not against you, okay? And all praises go to him, not me, but to him. Amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. Done brought the heat again, I'm talking. Amen. Have you ate today? Have we ate good? Man, I have. Got a couple time-sensitive announcements. Please pay attention, because I know everybody wants to get out and beat the Baptist to the buffet, so we're going to get you out. Number one, if you are a student in here, if you're a parent of a student, if you work in the school system, tonight, 6 o'clock at the Far City Pool, we're having our back-to-school splash, and this is where we pray over our students, our faculties, and those who are working in the system to just to bless them and cover them in prayer, okay? So make sure you're there. Also, if you're going to sign up, have signed up, thought about signing up, or considering signing up for ICIT, meet Mark Churchill over here right after the service, okay? He needs to meet with you real quick. We've got several things going on in the church. We've got experiencing God's presence through dance. Did you know you could do that? That's even legal. You could experience the presence of God through dance. And so we got that going on August the 3rd, the 10th, and 17th. I was told to make a real hard pitch to get you guys out there to ask you to borderline get in a little bit of manipulation. Make them come. No, I'm kidding. But you need to. Because, I mean, any time we can get in the presence of the Lord and experience things change. I don't know. I can't read anywhere in Scripture where people got in his presence and it didn't change things. So that's what this whole thing's about, okay? Getting, we ain't going to be teaching steps. Ain't going to be doing it. Well, they might be. I don't know. But the point is this. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And you're going to experience in a new way. Got all different other kinds of things going on. Go to fathersvineyard.org. Click on the information button there because there's too much to talk about this morning. But the Bible says that we are all connected, that the body is all connected, and we want to pray for a member of this body this morning. Miss Phyllis said she felt like she had a word of the Lord come forward, and she's got something that she wants to share with you guys real quickly about Brother Doug, because we're going to lift him up in prayer this morning. Amen? So just be patient with us for just a few more moments so we can pray for Brother Doug.
I don't know many people that hadn't been touched by Doug and Vicky. And, you know, when they came to this church, that was years ago. They didn't come in and take a back row seat. They came in, they came to the front of the church, they sat down, and they got involved. And guess what he's calling us to do? Do the same. I've been missing them. But you know what? We've been praying for them. And Vicky and Doug has been part of our home group. And I'm going to give another plug for the home groups. If you're not a member of a home group, you need to be. You know why you need to be? Because they need you and you need them. Amen. And so Vicky called and she said, I'm going to try to come by for just a minute Friday morning. In other words, what I heard Vicky say is, I need you. I need you. And we were there for her, wasn't we, Pat? We were there for her. And, you know, I saw our group gather around her and I saw us pray for her. Because guess what? Her husband's been in the hospital 2 weeks. What do we believe? I love that word you gave last week. It said, whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the word of the Lord? Yes. I'm going to. Does God want to take Doug home? I don't know. Guess what? Me and Doug about the same age. Does he want to take me home? You know what? He don't want to take us home until he's through with us. Till our work on this earth is done. And God's still working in Doug Logan. You can say to my grandchildren, and my grandchildren's in their late 30s and 40s, high tower. You know what they say? Doug Logan. You know why they say high tower? Because a high tower is something you look up to. You look up to it. There's a light in the top of that thing, and it's there for a reason. It's directing people. And Doug Logan's done that in this church. Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question. If you've been touched by Doug and Vicky, I want you to stand up right now. Guess what you just did? You just committed to pray for them. You just said, I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to let them down. I'm going to pray for them. Yes, we're going to believe God. Whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe in the Lord our God. That's who I'm going to believe. And so I don't care what the doctor says. Doug Logan is healed in the name of Jesus. Well, I proclaim it in the name of Jesus. Lord, he's walked with you. He has spread love throughout this church. There's many stories about what Doug has done for the body of Christ. Many stories. And you know what? We know they're the truth. Because we see the Spirit of God working mightily in him.
Yes,
and we thank you for that,
yes,
Father. Yes. And Father, when Isaiah went to King Isaiah went to Hezekiah, and he said, get your house in order, you're going to die. You know what Hezekiah done? He turned his face toward the wall and he began to say, God, remember me. God, remember me. And I'm asking you, Father, to remember Doug. And I'm asking you, Father, to touch him in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you to raise him up in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb that is spread abroad in his heart by one Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we thank you for strength for the journey, for Vicky, and for the family in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that strength comes from you. We love you and bless you today, Father, and thank you for being in our service. And thank you for reminding us of who we are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I love you.
Amen, amen. Go ye therefore and be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.